to Jesse Bob.
Alright, get ready. I'm introducing.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Jesse Bob is going to tell us a story, but first, I want to give you a snippet of how he introduced himself. I said, how'd you find us? And he said, I came from the internets to tell a tale of revenge. Welcome him to the stage!
I was sitting up there and I was like, God, I feel sorry for the guy who's got to follow the overlord of storytelling. And this contains some adult material and some adult language, but it's okay because you guys will learn something, so don't worry about it. Is there anyone here who has a job where you get tipped, where you survive on tips? One person? Only one person? Two? A few? Okay, this is for you. This is for you. Most of my life I was a bellman. And the way it works, if you're a bellman, you wear a radio. And if you are not a cop and a fireman, but you have to wear a walkie-talkie for work, you probably didn't go to Princeton. You know what I'm saying? You took a wrong road on the career path. And they would radio you and say, hey, 407 wants bags down. And you would say, copy. Put the radio back. Go to the porte-cochere, and you would... I didn't know what that was until I worked at hotels. You'd go to the porte-cochere, grab the luggage cart, you go to the service elevator, and you couldn't ride the customer, you couldn't ride the guest elevators unless they specifically asked you to. And you knew that was only because they didn't want you to be alone with their bags, which is really an asshole move. But in this case, he probably should have done it. Anyway, you go to the service elevator, and I was training one day this young kid named Jeremy, and by training it means he just followed me around for the day to see what I did. There's no written test to be a bellman. And so we called it shadowing, actually. And if I needed help, Jeremy would help me, but I got to keep the tips because that's the way of the bellman, you know. And I was the senior guy. And so we got a call, room 407 needs bags down. Now, I knew who was in room 407 because he'd been staying at the hotel like three times a year for the last 7 years. It was Mr. John Smith, not his real name. Mr. John Smith of South Africa. Now, I tell you where he's from because I thought him being a white dude of a certain age from South Africa justified the loathing I had for this man. Like, I was on the front lines of the anti-apartheid movement, you know? Like, Mandela and I shared a cell or something. You know? I said, this guy, he's a racist. Whatever. So, now, we got a lot of international travelers, and contrary to popular belief, international people knew if you took their bags to and from their room, you're supposed to tip. And Smith knew it, too. But he'd always try to worm his way out of it, right? And he was a fashion buyer. And we got a lot of these people. And what they do is they come into the States, and they have these big hockey bags. Like, you can carry hockey sticks and ice skates and pads in them. But what they do is they go around the country, and they buy clothes to take back to, like, Australia or South Africa because they have different seasons there. So they come here, buy our shit, and they take it back and copy it, right? And not my clothes, but like, you know, if you shop at the Gaps or whatever, they would take your clothes, copy them for their summer line. So he would always have like two of these bags, which was really like a two or three man job. But he would worm his way out of giving you a tip. Like he would say to the front desk, oh, could you have my bags delivered to the room? And then he would sort of stall, like looking at a brochure rack that he had seen like 100 times, you know. So then he would go to his room and the bags would already be there and he wouldn't have to tip you. Now you may say, Jesse, how do you know he was supposed to tip you? Because you know, if you're in one of those jobs, you know when a guy knows he's supposed to tip you. But I actually showed up at the room at the same time as of him one time, and the guy almost had a panic attack, you know, and he did the old searching the pockets and then the, I don't have cash. Can I get you later, chief? You know, that thing. So I knew he knew. So now it was confirmed now, you know. So we get the call to go get the bags in his room, and I knew he wasn't going to be there, and I knew when we got downstairs he was going to be waiting in a taxi with the trunk open, and we were going to come out of the service elevator, and Jeremy and I were going to have to load these bags into the trunk. And, you know, to get these bags out of the trunk, you really had to put your whole body in there and pull the bag out. I mean, these were big bags, right? I mean, I don't know why this guy didn't tip in person, but he should have tipped. You know, I mean, if you're risking a hernia, right, you know, he should tip you. And it was like this thing he got off on, like, you know, and he wouldn't not tip you in person. You know, some people would say to me, I don't tip, you know, which is an asshole thing to say, but I mean, I respected them, right? But Smith would, like, you know, it was like this Zen riddle. Like, if I'm not there to not get tipped, was I not tipped? You know, it was like, no, no. So Jeremy and I get to his room, and he doesn't have one bag or two bags. He's got three of these bags. And then on the last bag, he, like, threw his sports jacket, you know, like the final insult, like, you know, get my bags, boys, and then don't forget my jacket. I don't know how the fuck these guys talk, you know, don't forget my jacket. So I've got a bad temper, you know, and I was mad. And so Jeremy and I are lifting these things onto the luggage cart, and the tires are deflating with each bag. Like, Jeremy's enthusiasm for this job is deflating, you know. He's just like... So we get this luggage cart down to the service elevator, and we're waiting for it. And Jeremy doesn't say anything because he could just see. You see, I was angry. And the service elevator comes. We get inside, and I'm thinking... I was honestly thinking I'm going to pull him out of the cab and beat the fuck out of him with a tire iron. I mean, you may think that's drastic, but tips are important, man, you know? So I'm thinking, what am I going to do, man? So I just instinctively, I pull the stop button on the service elevator and we stop. And I see Jeremy freaking out a little bit because, you know, he knows this isn't normal, right? This isn't normal. So I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I got to do something, man. I got my pride to think about. You know, this is important. And I'm looking. The bags are locked. I don't have time to pick the locks. So I got his jacket. I got his jacket. Okay, I got that. I'm gonna use his jacket. Okay, what am I going to do? What do I got? I start, like, it's like someone in an avalanche or a plane crash. I start, like, assessing my situation, you know. I got keys. I got a walkie-talkie. I mean, you know, what do I got? And I see Jeremy's backing up against the wall. I'm like, what do I got? I got nothing, man. I got nothing. What can I... And then it dawned on me. I do have something. I have the same thing that my brothers used on me. I have a butthole. I have my butthole. And this all happened within about 30 seconds. I pull my belt out, drop trowel. My underwear comes down between around my ankles. Jeremy's like really freaking out. I grab this dude's jacket and instantly I go, okay, it's gotta be the lapel, it's gotta be something close to the face, right? And so I get sort of like on the cart, and I take this lapel, and I said, you know what? I can't just graze this across my asshole. Because that would just be like, in theory, payback, you know? So I took that lapel, and I shoved it up my ass. Shoved it so far up my ass that I didn't need my hands anymore, right? Like, it was just hanging there. Like, just a magic trick. And I paused, and I swear to God, I thought this. I thought, you know what? I'm 35. That's the first time anything's been in my ass. And I was like, man, that's weird, man. I mean, you know, I'm from L.A., you know. So then I didn't know what to do, right? I didn't know what to do. I'm like going, okay, how long do I leave it in? And I look at Jeremy. Jeremy's looking at me. And we make eye contact for the first time. And he starts smiling. And I start smiling. And I'm just laughing. And he's laughing. And then we get the radio call. Front desk, the bellman. I have to find the radio. This is the bellman. Mr. Smith has told the valet he's going to miss his flight. Okay, just a few more minutes. So, I pull the jacket out of my ass, put it on top, take the bags out, pulling the cart, which actually seemed a lot lighter at this time. You know? Throw the bags in his trunk, he goes on his way. And I was thinking, you know, I've told the story many times, and I was thinking, you know, Mr. Smith, not his real name. He doesn't know that I did that, I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure he never figured out someone shoved the lapel in their ass, right? He doesn't know I had sex with his jackets. It's like him tipping, you know? If the person that you exact revenge on doesn't know you exacted revenge, did you exact revenge? And the answer is yes.